Holy God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. Lord God, I thank you. Sometimes in the midst of difficulty, we don't know what to do because we forget to come to you. But once we remember to come to you, Lord God, you'll work it out. Not the way we expect many times, but the way you desire. So thank you. Bless you all here today under the sound of my voice. Those who are watching online, those who are in the sanctuary, bless our Sunday school. Lord God, be with us. It's been a difficult time for all of us, Lord God. So many pastors and leaders are weary, God. Many of them are now leaving ministry, and so many of the laity are weary, God. But you are still God, and you're with us. Speak a word now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak in the name of Jesus. Speak to your children. Speak to us a word of love and a word of hope, a word that we could hold on to. Lord God, and take hold of me to preach and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Yes, Lord God, speak. And so, friends, today my sermon title is Christ-like Servanthood. Christ-like servanthood, you know, there's a way to serve the Lord. Lots of people are serving. Some are serving for pay. Some are serving for compensation. But there's a way to serve Christ, and our end, what we get at the end is the well done, right? It's the well done. So I'm going to have the next slide, young lady, my assistant now. And I have a picture up on the next slide, and it says here under the bottom, I'm reading it for those online, the scripture that was read, it says, the last shall be the first, and the first shall be the last.
Amen.
And you see that little cartoon at the bottom? It says, I don't want to be the first or the last. I want to wallow somewhere in the middle. Do you see that cartoon? The idea that the cartoon, the laugh on the scripture. The guy says, I don't want to be the first. I don't want to be the last. I just want to wallow in the middle. And there are folks who just, it's okay to be in the middle sometimes, just doing what God has called you to do. Amen? Next slide. Now, we're going to read these together. And just, these are some of the pointers I saw that I thought as I get into the preach word that we could say. It says, number one, the desire to be great. We all want to be great, right? And I'm going to read with you so they could hear. We all want to be great, but we don't desire, we don't want folks to know we want to be great. And isn't that the truth? People will say, oh, I don't want to be great. I don't want to, but it's not true. We all, there are many people who want to be great. You know, they act humble. I call it pretend humility. But we all want to be great, but we don't want people. The next one, number two, the danger of ambition. The Christian who is ambitious to be a start disqualifies him or herself as a leader, right? If you want to be a star as a Christian, you disqualify yourself, right? Because we're not starring. There's only one star, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Next point. Number three is only six of them. All Christians are ministers. Let's read. If you are a Christian, then you are a minister. A non-ministering Christian is a contradiction in terms. That means all of us here are Christians. We are ministers. And we are called to serve God in some capacity, right? The local church will never stand without lay folks who volunteer their time and do not get monetary gifts, right? They get nothing but their ministers, right? Their lay ministers, your old lay ministers working for the kingdom, right? Only few of us are set apart or are called and paid to do this, right? All of you who are serving in the church are lay ministers. And for that, we thank God. Number four, acid test of servanthood. Read. You can tell whether you are becoming a servant by how you act when people treat you like one. When people treat you like a servant, you could know if you're a true servant, because you will receive it as such. And number six, the best witness a church can have. Number five, I'm sorry, I'm missing five. Sorry about that. I think it's the back of my sheet. Sorry about that. Number five, happiness in service. I know the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve. Amen. The only ones who will be really happy are those who have found a way to serve. Because when we find a way to serve, we stop thinking about ourselves and we begin to think about others. It frees us up from being what? So insular. You know, you can think about yourself until you're weary of. Or do you ever get just tired of yourself? The quarantine has done that. You're so home and with yourself, and you see yourself, and it's about yourself and what you do. You get so tired of yourself. That's why the quarantine is so hard. We have to live with ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And we just got tired of ourselves. Well, I'm going to have to eat. I'm going to read. I'm going to sleep. That's all we were doing, locked in our houses. And then all of a sudden we realize, I really want to talk to somebody else outside. I just want to go to the supermarket and talk to somebody. I just want to wave to somebody, because we got tired of ourselves, right? And number six, the best witness a church can have. Read, the best way for people to learn about the church is by seeing a face and hearing a voice say, we are here to serve in the name of Christ, and God bless you whether you come or not. Amen? And God bless you whether you come or not. So the reason why, you could go back to the picture now, of the sermon, the first one. Thank you. The other one. That's it, the bulletin cover. And the reason why I wanted us to read these and to see is to remind us, these are things that I've read myself. I read these things. Those who see on Facebook, they'll notice that every day I try to put a word of encouragement, because I read these things for myself. To remind myself, you know, to keep myself grounded, to don't get big-headed. God has called me to do this, but God could call anybody else to do it, and has and will, right? So I want to keep myself grounded. As I continue, Pope Francis says, power intoxicates without humility and love. Power intoxicates without humility and love. And it says, did you know that the Pope gave a TED Talk? Those of you who know about TED Talk, right? Very wise, good sayings online. A TED Talk, whatever you think about the Catholic Church or its current spiritual leader, he offered these biblically based words about the use of power. The more powerful you are, the more your actions will have an impact on people. The more responsible you are to act humble, right? The more powerful you are, is the more responsible you are to act humble towards people, because you have a greater impact. If you don't, your power will ruin you, and you will ruin the other. There is a saying in Argentina, the Pope says, power is like drinking gin on an empty stomach. You feel dizzy, you get drunk, you lose your balance, and you will end up hurting yourself and those around you if you don't connect your power with humility and tenderness. Through Christ-like humility and concrete love, on the other hand, power, the highest, the strongest one, becomes a service, a force for good. That we could have power, but we must have humility, concrete love and humility. Right? There's nothing wrong in having power, but it's how we're going to use it. I saw this little brief thing. It says, everyone a servant. The writer says, for many years, I have attended a midweek Eucharist at St. Betty's Episcopal Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico. One thing I love is the lettered sign that hangs over the only door into the sanctuary. Servants' entrance, it says. There isn't any way in or out of the church except through the service door. What a wonderful sign. That means everybody's coming in is a servant. Servants' entrance. Oh, I love that sign. I think I'm going to put it up here somewhere. Servants' entrance. We're all coming in here to serve God. Amen?
Amen.
In one way or the other. So here's Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Right? And he just told them about his death and his resurrection. He has told them that he's going to die. And he's going to be, you know, he's going to be betrayed into the hands of human beings, and they're going to kill him, and he'll be killed, but he'll rise again. But they did not understand, the scripture says, what he was saying, and they were afraid. Jesus is telling them something profound, but guess what's in their mind? I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" So even though Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified, and they were not talking about that, they were arguing on the way, and Jesus was listening. Now the scripture says they were silent, for on the way they were arguing with one another about who was the greatest. The man is going to die. He's telling you he has been saving people. He has been healing people. He's your leader of this great mission, right? And instead of listening, they're arguing about who is the greatest. Who should be shown? There are folks in the church, they'll never do anything that they're not shown. You know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that you never see. But you're doing and doing and doing. That's why I called up our friend, dear Angel, right? He'll never be in this pulpit on a Sunday, right? He won't be standing there, for example, but he's doing. And there are many others. I just use that as an example today. Who may never be here, who may never read a scripture, who may never do anything, but they're serving the Lord every day. Who may never stand in my pulpit, who may never play the piano, right? Because they can't play the piano. But every day they're doing something in this church to glorify God. And nobody else knows. And they don't need anybody else to know. And they don't get their back up and a frown on their face when you don't call their name. And you call somebody else's name. Because they're doing it to glorify God. Amen? And you're doing it all the time. So Jesus says, "But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest." And he sat them down, and he called the 12, and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Whoever wants to be first must be last. I say to people sometimes, as a Methodist pastor, do you know how long, we're not making billions of dollars, so you all know that. So it's not the money. But do you know how long it takes us to become an ordained pastor in the Methodist Church? You would think we're becoming a movie star, right? And SBR on finance knows, SBR as to how long it takes us, right? 8-9 years of going to seminary and studying and doing and, 6-7 years, and then we have to be examined, and then we have to serve. And when I served in Brooklyn under my mentor, my senior pastor, I was there for a whole year before I got up to say anything. But I knew that one day God would use me. So it's not about just standing here. Right? When we pay the price, God will exalt us in time according to his will. And there are many people serving diligently in the church who nobody has known. But guess who knows? Heaven knows. Amen? Heaven knows what they're doing. And so Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And here's the beauty of it. No matter what we say with our mouths, Jesus knows our heart. Your people are very good to act it out. They'll say and they'll act, but in their heart they don't know. Jesus knows this. And then he took a little child and he put the child among them and he said, "Whoever welcomes a child welcomes me. And that's why we are so committed here in this church to welcome our children and to take the time to welcome children. Whoever welcomes a child welcomes me, welcomes the one who has sent me. And so I just want to give us several points. How can we be Christ-like in our servanthood? How can we be Christ-like? Number one, Christ-like leaders, Christ-like servant leaders are motivated by love. We must be motivated by love, the love to serve others. Christ-like leaders are motivated by love to serve others. Deep in our heart and soul, we want to serve others. Think about it. Jesus even washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, the man who would betray him and have him killed the next day. That's our example, right? Jesus' love was undeserved, unending, unconditional, and unselfish. So in order to be Christ-like in our servanthood, we must love those we serve. We cannot hate them and serve them. We cannot be quarreling about it when we're serving them. We can't think they're other, right? That they're other, those people, and we're serving them. No. Because God knows. Number two, possess a security that allows them to serve others. We must possess a security that allows us to serve others. Do you know what that means? We are secured in ourselves in knowing that we are saved by grace. We are secured in our salvation. And we must understand that so that we can serve others and offer and bring them to salvation through Jesus Christ. We are secured. We know that Jesus knew who he was and he was secure. And so we too, in fact, must know that once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are secured in our salvation. And so we can serve others because we want to give back. We have first been given and we want to give back. Number three, we must imitate servant leadership, right? We must initiate servant leadership to others. We must initiate it, right? We must do it. Jesus didn't just wait for someone to clarify the protocol. No, he did not. He saw there was a need and he got up and he did it. He saw there was a need to wash the feet. He washed the feet of the disciples, not because anyone told him, but because there was a need. A true servant needs to serve. And a true servant needs to do what must be done to serve. We must get up and serve. Now, a true servant must also receive servant ministry. There are people who say they're servant, but you could never serve them. I am a servant of the Lord, but I must be open for you to serve me. You are Nancy's a servant of the Lord, but she must be open for me to serve her. Because when you're not, that means you think you're bigger than somebody else serving you. No. Right? If I say to Nancy, I see her here and she needs something, and I said, Nancy, let me bring you this. She should be open to receive it. As anybody who you always want to serve other people, and don't want anybody to serve them means what? That they think they don't need it. They're doing it for us. It's ego. A servant must be willing to receive service from others. Amen? And that's what Jesus is saying. A true servant receives service from others. And number five, we're almost done. Want nothing to hinder their relationship with God. A servant should have want nothing to hinder their relationship with God. We make nothing hinder our relationship when we're servants with God. We want to be in right relationship with God. And so we are in Bible study, we read the word, and we want to be in right relationship with God. And then, number six, we should teach servanthood by our example. We should teach servanthood by our example, friends. And that's what we are called to do, to teach it. Not by our words, but by example. And number seven, and then I'm done, it says, live a blessed life. When we are servants and we serve as Jesus wants us to serve, we will be blessed. Amen? We will be blessed. And so as I close, James says to us, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Amen. The only way we are going to be served and give God a praise offering is to do what? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Amen. And I thank God in this church for those who have served. Many of them who have served that you have never seen, those who I just visited or here, who have served for years in many capacities, that this church would not still be here and stand if it was not for lay servanthood. And do not be confused that it's only those you see that are serving. That's not true. There's no way one person could do all this. It takes a village. It takes a church. Amen? Thanks be to God.